Hello and welcome to episode 174 of Speak Beastie for April 2nd, 2023. I'm Anne.
I'm Marjolaine.
And I'm Shannon.
And it's April. And
that's no joke.
Hey.
I was about to say, do we have an April Fool's for this episode? I don't think so.
No, we're the day after April Fool's.
The April Fool's of this episode is that it's going to be a really short episode.
Yeah, the April Fool is us. I don't know.
We're the fools for getting into this franchise.
Oh, no. It's too real. It's too real. But you know who is not an April Fool? You know who is the April smartest person I know? This week's Patreon supporter, Pauline V.
Hi.
Pauline is another one of our French listeners.
Yes.
And I'm going to give a special shout out to her because she was my secret Dumbledore for the gift exchange last year.
Aww.
She gave me these beautiful bookmarks and a tote bag that has like a pretty snake eyes, as ambitious like a Slytherin. And I'm working on this ginormous cross stitch project this year. It is the perfect size for a project bag. So shout out to Pauline. You the best.
Merci, Pauline.
All right, well, let's get into the Phoenix Register.
And now a message from our sponsors.
Hey you, yes you, the magical cats and dolls waving your wands like bean shooters in a caper. Looking to be on the up and up about Newt Scamander, famous zoologist and world traveler? No need for gossip at the juice joint, just tune your ears to Speak Beastie. And now for as little as one dragon dollar a month, you can make Speak Beastie the Neasles Meow. Support the show at patreon.com and suddenly you're the big cheese, the real McCoy, with exclusive access to swell sneak peeks, bloopers, and behind-the-scenes features. But wait, there's more. Sponsors can also beat their gums at the joint with access to the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Now you're really on the clean sweep, flyboy. Get a wiggle on to patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more about becoming a sponsor today. It's the Billy Wigs knees and how.
We've just got, like, one piece of news, but quite a bit of information about it. The making of Harry Potter Tokyo is opening on June 16th with the Great Wizarding Express on display, our favorite. So from PR Newswire, also featured in this section of the studio tour is the Great Wizarding Express, a set that is exclusive to Tokyo, which appeared in Fantastic Beasts: The Secrets of Dumbledore. The train carriage is Art Deco in styling to match the era and is decorated with ornate detailing throughout, recreating the appearance of bird's eye maple, ebony, and brass inlay strips. Depicting the scene where Newt Scamander leads an intrepid team of wizards, witches, and one brave muggle baker on a dangerous mission, the mannequins display the costumes of Newt Scamander, Jacob Kowalski, Theseus Scamander, Bunty Broadacre, Yusuf Kama, and Eulalia Lally Hicks. So tickets will be available online beginning March 22nd. So already, they're already available.
Yeah, they're, as of the date of this is dropping, they've been available for about a week or so.
They are not available for us, but also we're not in Tokyo.
Okay, that's a bigger obstacle than the time.
Their currency is yen?
Yeah.
Yeah, so adult tickets are 6,300 yen, or about $48. Junior tickets, which are for ages 12 to 17, are about 5,200 yen, or $40. And children 4 to 11 are 3,800 yen, or about $29.
I think it's pretty close from the price in Lisbon, I think.
Yeah, that's down darn reasonable. $48 for the whole day.
I'm not sure it's as large as the Lisbon one. So
no, probably not.
I don't know. I was reading the article, and it was talking about how it's the largest indoor Harry Potter attraction.
Oh.
in the world.
Oh, okay.
And it also includes the largest Harry Potter store in the world.
Oh, interesting. I mean, because Leesden has some outdoor stuff, but not a lot.
Yeah, like the bridge and the bus are outdoors, and I know there's that outdoor bit like right in the middle.
Yeah, it's more and more. It's larger and larger. Now there is a lot of things outside.
Okay.
There is Privet Drive. There is the greenhouse. There is a lot of things now outside.
Well, so maybe it's technically bigger with the outside section, but still.
Yeah.
This is
big. But yeah, for the first time, Fantastic Beasts display on the studio tour. That's
really, yeah, it's so cool.
Such a cool set.
Yeah, but I don't know if you saw the pictures. I was quite not disappointed because it's still really cool, but it's an open set. You are not in the train. You are looking at something open. And so it's not as immersive as you, because in the studio tour, you can go inside the Hogwarts Express.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really small, but yeah, it's more immersive. There it's just, in quotes, an open set. So
I was thinking that when they mentioned the mannequins, I'm like, it would be hard to move around in there with the mannequins,
yeah,
without touching everything.
No, it's just I was okay. That's and it's not the same time as when you are in Leesden, because when you are in Leesden, you are in where they shoot, and there you can. I don't, maybe probably the costumes are from the original costumes, but the rest of the set, I don't know.
No, so, yeah, it's all replicas. I know they were talking, at least the Hogwarts Express, they were talking about how it was a train that was decommissioned in the 20s, and it's obviously not the original one because that is in Leesden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a lot of the stuff in Tokyo is replicas.
Mm, that makes sense. Still, let's go.
But still, it's really, because last time or maybe two episodes ago, we were talking about with the Fantastic Beasts in the Universal Park in Tokyo, and now that. So that's interesting that all the Fantastic Beasts stuff are in Japan.
Yeah.
And for Secrets of Dumbledore, it's in Japan that they did the most promo with the actors coming to Japan to do stuff, to do events. And they didn't do that anywhere else in the world, not even in the States, I think. So, that's interesting. And Sophie commented on our common room and said that most of the fandom is from East and South Asia, actually.
Interesting.
The fandom for, yeah. And she noticed that most of her fandom friends are from Philippines and Indonesia. So yeah, I think there is something interesting to
they
maybe
just appreciate magical animals so much more over there.
Probably, yeah.
But, I mean, yeah.
I was wondering what cultural reason could make Fantastic Beasts more popular in Asia.
Well, I think, I know. Maybe it's like the era, because I know, again, I'm just broadly generalizing. I know nothing, so I apologize in advance for all like our Asian listeners are all just boop, turning it off. But I know that like Shanghai Disneyland, for instance, their main street is themed to 1920s Shanghai. So I feel like that maybe that vibe just is more popular over there. I don't know.
Maybe.
Please write in and tell me how wrong I am, because I am completely just talking out of
nothing. Yeah, if there is listeners that can have theories, or more if you are from East or South Asia and you have reason that you're thinking why. That's really really an interesting topic.
That is it for the Phoenix Picture, and we actually have two pieces of owl post.
Yo,
so exciting.
Owls are back.
First piece of owl post comes from Jerry regarding our podcast question from episode 172, which was, why did it take Newt and Theseus so long to get from Germany to Hogwarts, Jerry says, quote, "I am afraid that the folks behind the Fantastic Beasts franchise aren't paying a lot of attention to continuity and explanations." You might be afraid, and you are correct. If they can set this third movie in 1932 by several hints, yet have Lolly tell Jacob he met Newt just over a year ago, how can we take seriously other continuity issues? You're not wrong.
I mean, yeah.
Do Lolly and Jacob transport using the bookport key into the Flu Network on the Great Wizard Express back when they first meet? Good question! Use magical means to cross the Atlantic and had to go both ways on a steamship. If not, how do they do it and how does the time work? But back to this question. The screenwriters and or director wanted Newt and Theseus and Pickett and Teddy and the Tailor Arm of the Beast to leave Germany at one point and to arrive at Hogwarts at another and just make it so. No explanation because they don't want to explain.
Well, yeah, but I like to think about, I like to theorize. That's more fun. And there should be an explanation.
Like, the only thing I can think is that the sequence, like, the Newt is arriving at the Irksag later than Lally and Jacob are at the, and the events of the, like, the fight with the Manticore and stuff just takes longer than it seems to in the movie. So they just arrive there.
Yeah, I mean, I think
later.
That.
Maybe. But, I mean, if the answer is a wizard did it, then I guess the answer is a wizard did it, you know?
Okay, yeah. I'm just like, I'm not that, you know, it's that meme, the, like, it's free real estate meme.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, it's bad writing.
But, yeah, I wonder why, because if they respected the continuity and if Newt and Theseus arrived by night, we could have this typical shot of Hogwarts by night over the lake. That could work too, I guess.
And then it could have just like cut to all of them coming down to breakfast in the morning. They've all taken a nap. It wouldn't have taken any more time.
It really wouldn't have.
But Newt and Theseus just don't get a long rest to recover their spell slots. So.
They don't. They have to take a short rest later. Oh, you can only roll 1d4.
Yeah.
Well, our other piece of Owl Post is from Owl Burt. And it was about, basically he just said, hey, more news about a potential Wizarding World studio coming. There was an investor call that Variety reported on March 8th, 2023. And I'll just read the quote. Quote, take Harry Potter as an example. The Wizarding World, the fact that we are enjoying this massive success with the Hogwarts Legacy launch 12 years after the film came out shows that there is so much opportunity and we're only just starting to expand that. This is a quote from Gunnar Wiedenfels?
Wiedenfels?
Yeah, I don't know. He's the Warner Brothers chief financial officer. He said this in this investor call. Quote, we've got the new Harry Potter tour coming up in Tokyo in the middle of the year. Long story short, I think this one company approach, great leadership in the individual business units, but coordinated franchise management is probably one of the biggest opportunities the company has. And he talks about, like, there's all this potential, but he doesn't mention anything about the franchise they have going that could be their flagship with this, Harry Potter studio, if indeed that does get launched, which, frankly, like, I know we're all looking to Zaslav as, like, I haven't been impressed with his leadership yet.
No.
I'm waiting for him to pull a Feige or to whatever, or pull a Kathleen Kennedy and impress me, but he hasn't done that yet.
Yeah, there's still, I mean, yeah, it's just another example of them ignoring the existence of Fantastic Beasts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
I guess they still didn't decide what to do.
Well, obviously, they're waiting for us to be available to offer us the reign of the studio to make
of
us
course.
The showrunners.
Yeah.
So once that email pops up at speakbc@gmail.com, then we'll be able to really get this train going, this Great Wizard Express going.
Yeah, so, yeah, Warner Brothers, don't worry, we are clearing our schedule. We will be soon ready, so, be prepared to send this email.
Yes. I'll work remotely. I'm not moving to L.A., but I'm happy to work remotely from here.
I'll move to L.A.
Okay, Shannon will be the face of the organization. Oh, that is our owl post. Marjo, what you got for the main discussion?
So for our main discussion, of course, we will continue analysis from the scene by scene. And this time we will go to scene 68 to 71 of the screenplay. So we start with scene 68, Interstellar, Nurmengard, moments later, late day. And that's a scene. That's the scene. And yeah, it starts with a close on the dead Chilin. And the description is as disturbing as what we saw on screen.
Oh, God, it's so gross.
Yeah. As the lean creature's head floats on one side, the laceration across its throat is revealed. That's horrifying.
Okay. Cool.
No.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the next paragraph, blood blooms from its ragged throat.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we didn't need you to tell us again that its throat is cut open.
Yeah, we know it's just a little baby and it's dead and it died horribly.
Yeah. And I mean, the description in the script is really horrifying, but what the screen adds with this disgusting color, like green, I don't know,
I know that their Fantastic Beasts is a franchise for adults, but once again, just like with the dead baby in movie 2, I feel like they are going maybe a little too hard.
Yeah. I like that they were going that far with dark magic, because we rarely saw dark magic in Harry Potter. I mean, maybe the most that we saw it's Voldemort's resurrection. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, we just see bad guys shooting spells, but nothing more. But there, that's dark magic.
Yeah, I was going to say everyone involved in that at least was adults, but that's not true because Harry was 14, so never mind.
So speaking of dark magic, we see what Grindelwald is doing, and it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
And he used the spell Renervate, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I looked up if it was a spell that was in the Potter books, and it was, but not for necromancy. In the Potter books, it was used to awaken unconscious target, and it was used mostly after stupefix. So when somebody was stupefied, they renovate him or her to awaken the people, so stupefied. So yeah, that's not what's happening here.
Yeah,
it's like, it makes no sense. Like, the only thing I can think is that he's using Renervate on it because it's an animal, so I guess it's like less complex, like, you know, how a starfish can lose a limb and it'll just grow the limb back because it's a less complex life form. And so maybe because it was so young and because it's an animal, he's able to give it some spark of life back using just the spell. But, like, honestly, if bringing people back to life is as easy as using Renervate, then what was Voldemort doing with all the Horcruxes?
I mean, I don't think that's just the spell that make the chilling relieved. I think it's connected to the water, too, because the water seems kind of magical. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's a big potion. I don't know.
Well, and I very much think that it's not, it doesn't have any life in it. I think it's even kind of lesser than, you know, a zombie. They're called in Harry Potter. What are they?
In fairy?
Yes, in fairy. Because puppet is a good word. I think it's more just like he is, yeah, I don't know. It's, Renervate still doesn't really make sense, but, like, I am just giving it some animation so I can control it.
Yeah.
And then the next spell is to make the laceration across its throat not be visible.
Yeah, so Venera Sanento, again, it's used in the sixth book and movie by Snape on Malfoy. And it's interesting because I thought, reading the book, that it wasn't Snape's invention, this spell, but...
I think you're right.
Yeah.
But maybe not. No, maybe I'm
Sectum Sempra.
I'm thinking of Sectum Sempra, that is okay. Definitely Snape's invention.
That's,
but maybe Venera Sanento is not. Yeah.
Oh, and like, what was interesting is that I was reading the wiki and I'm flipping through my copy of Half-Blood Prince. It says that the spell needed to be used 3 times for maximum effectiveness. I guess Snape used it 3 times on Draco. Once to stop the bleeding, once to kind of clear up the dried blood and kind of make sure that everything's, like, good, and then the 3rd time to heal the wounds. And Grindelwald really only uses it once.
I guess
to get rid of the scars.
Yeah.
I guess
yeah.
It doesn't have any blood left.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess since it's already dead.
Yeah.
And then he's, you know, a very powerful wizard, so... It does feel, though, like they just kind of picked 2 random spells. I feel like with the Fantastic Beasts movie, we're encountering this more where it's that, like, in the Harry Potter books and movies, because they're, like, kids' stuff, you can be like, oh, dark magic, and be very vague about it. But then when it comes to moments like this where they need to actually show the dark magic, they don't know what to do.
Yeah, like, I'm okay with the Venera Sanento or whatever being used as, mm-hmm. like, a cleanup spell once the magic has been cast, but the fact that Renervate was used, it doesn't make sense. Like, they've made up different spells. Like, we even see a different spell. Queenie uses Aberto in lieu of Alohomora in the first movie. So, you can make up new spells. It's not illegal.
You can also... do nonverbal magic.
Yeah. Like, don't even tell us what it is.
I mean, he's doing this without a wand, right?
Yeah.
I believe so, yeah.
It doesn't mention his wand in the script, and I don't remember in the movie, so.
Yeah, because we have this lovely description of, with great tenderness, Grindelwald plays his fingers over the chilling throat, mending the flesh there, bubbles rise from the pool, the chilling heads break the surface, and it screeches.
Great. Yeah, so this is weird. I mean, there has to be something about the water, too.
Yeah.
That helps with this whole, like, ceremony. But it's weird.
Yeah, like, I'm okay with most of it. It's like, that's, the Renervate is a problem.
Yeah.
So I haven't mentioned that, but it's also there, then the script mentioned that Credence, Fogel, and Rosier watch from the shadows. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, because in the movie it doesn't really make sense that Fogel is here.
Yeah.
But we are missing again the scene that we have in the bonus in the Blu-ray of Fogel in the library of Nurmengard talking with Grindelwald, and I think that's the scene just before that. So yeah.
That makes sense.
Because we don't. I remember when I first saw that, I was okay. So he definitely is with Grindelwald, but it was not.
Yeah,
we have no context why. Like,
they never were like, "Hey, look, he's with Grindelwald."
Yeah, they were. Just
it was
like,
just like, have you noticed that he's here?
They're just like, okay, he's like being wishy-washy about. Oh, it's the right thing to pardon him, whatever. And then next thing we know, he's in his basement. Like, that's a big jump from just being a spineless policy.
And what, they're supposed to...
Guy.
I'm supposed to just, like, distinguish between different white men in a movie? Like, that's a lot to ask of me.
Yeah, especially when they chose an actor who looked so much like Matthew Kirsten.
Yeah.
Like... And Vogel doesn't want to look at this happening.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it's like Rosier is there, but then it like never mentions her again. She is just like, I'm here. This is fine. Because I'm Rosier.
Yeah, Vogel is really not in his element. He's maybe I didn't. I mean, it's not explicit, but I guess we can understand that at this point he's okay. This guy will go that far that I'm not okay with that, but now I have no choice.
Yeah. I'm in his basement, so.
Yeah. Too late.
Well, now that I'm thinking about it, like, it's really kind of a threat, isn't it? Because look what I did to this baby chillin'. Mm-hmm. Mess around, you're next. Like, mm-hmm. I can pop you in this pool just as easy.
I'll kill you, I'll bring you back to life, and then you'll be my puppet. Even more so. So, why don't you just do what I say and we skip that step?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't get this Brooks Brothers suit bloody again.
But Credence is pretty interested, so he leaves the shadow and goes to the edge of the pool. So yeah, and there Grindelwald again has he used that as a demonstration to prove that the wizard should not conceal their power, and he said that it's sinful. And again, he kind of talks like a cult leader. Like we mentioned in the last scene.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Which, this is just, it is interesting. What if, you know, okay. Like, yeah, if you're already in the cult, if you're already in the cult of Grindelwald and he says this, then, like, yeah, sure, I guess it would help convince you more so. But from an outside perspective, him being like, look at this dead animal that I can now, I've kind of brought it back to life, but obviously not completely. This is why we're special, and it's sinful to hide our powers. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the sin here, man.
Well, and can you imagine, like, Grindelwald is so lucky this is happening after Credence has been in the magical world for a couple of years. Can you imagine if this is what greeted him? When he first shows up after being told his whole life that witches and wizards are evil. And then Grindelwald's like, yeah, I just killed this baby and then brought it back to life. Sup? Like, Credence is like, yep, mom's right, I'm out.
Yeah, this is very much like, I have already reeled you in, and now I need to keep you here. So, I'm saying this. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, and that's what I like more in Crimes of Grindelwald, in the, at least in the lines that they gave to Grindelwald. It's more political in Crimes of Grindelwald. There, mm-hmm. it's more like, I'm evil.
Yeah.
And that's a shame because I think they had Mads Mikkelsen. You could make his line political and it would be convincing. Yeah. That's,
Yeah, it also just, it's one of those where, like, especially reading the script, I feel like watching the movie, I didn't have this as much, but reading the script, I was like, why is he saying this? Who is he talking to?
Yeah, like, who is he trying to convince? Because,
you'll like, we're all in it.
The folks who are down here, it's Vogel, Rosier, and Credence. Queenie and Kama are not invited to the Chilin, like, resurrection party.
It's like, for sure, he senses doubt with Credence, but it is like, nobody asked.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's more to Vogel, but I don't know if it's, it's working. We have an interesting quote in the script. It says that Credence studies the newly reborn Chilling Bewitched. And I was wondering, what do you think Credence is thinking at this moment? Because that's a bit weird. So, because we know that at this point he already sent the message, I want to come home, to go home to his father. So he already kind of decided that he don't want to stay with Grindelwald. So why is he bewitched by what he's seeing?
I think the use of the phrase newly reborn is definitely, it draws a parallel to what Credence wants. I think he essentially wants to be reborn.
Mm.
I could also see him it kind of like him feeling like he has already been reborn and now looking at this kind of thinking like, is that me now?
Oh, interesting.
Oh, because, yeah, that's kind of what happened to him in the, at the end of the first movie. So he got killed, in quotes, by the horrors, and just one little wisp, he was reborn. But maybe he's realizing that he is kind of a puppet in the hands of Grindelwald. So he sees the shilling and he thinks, that's me.
I was also thinking, like, he's seeing the what magic is capable of.
Yeah.
And, like, he knows how powerful he is because he was able to, like, the whole scene with Dumbledore, like, he already knows how powerful he is, but now he's seeing that death maybe not the end. So I think he's amazing and terrifying to him what they're capable of.
Well, and to that, too, if he is aware that he's dying, which I'm not totally sure if he is, but if he's aware of that, he could be looking at this like, is he going to do that to me?
Right, exactly.
Ah, yeah.
Like, am I next?
And, you know, I would think not, but I'm a bit like, would he still be able to, would, like, his Obscurus still be able to be used after he died?
Oh, my God. I don't want to think about that.
Yeah. It doesn't, we don't have to think about that. It doesn't happen.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, maybe he wants to go into the pool and see if the... he can heal himself. Yeah. I don't know.
There's a lot going through his head.
Yeah.
He may also be like, wow, that was cool.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's like, wow, that's pretty dope. Can I do that? Can I practice on Vogel?
Yeah. I don't want to go home anymore, actually. That was dope.
And just after that, we have the vision in the water. And that's the first time that Grindelwald loses his temper. And that's scary. Because for now, he was really cool, really calm. Even when Credence failed facing Dumbledore, he stayed cool. And there, yeah, he was not cool anymore. And he said, do you not understand the danger you've put me in? And they describe Credence as a terrified child, and that's sad. Because...
Actually, hold on, it says here, Grindelwald says calmly, did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire?
Was there another Chilin that night? Grindelwald asked calmly.
Like, what? I don't know. Okay, well...
That's fine, I understand.
That is twice you failed me. But and this is, you know, this whole scene is stuff we saw in the trailer and was like, what's happening? So
yep.
It was one of those things that was nice to watch and just see everything coming together and be like, ah, that's what's happening. He's being mean.
Yeah, in the screenplay it says that he throws Credence back from the pool with a powerful burst of water, pins him to the wall, apparates in front of him, and then basically, like, starts to strangle him. His fingers lace about Credence's throat and face.
His,
like, that is
eyes
so
glitter
scary.
With anger. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's really, really lose his temper there. And that's, I mean, I don't know if he loses his temper or if it's, He's trying another technique to control Credence, because he tried to be nice and it didn't work. So he's trying something else.
That's
true.
I don't necessarily feel like he is losing control of himself here.
Mm-hmm.
That he's just like, you know what, I've given you a lot of chances, kid, and I'm a terrible person. So now... I'm going to be worse.
Yeah. And
also, Vogel and Rosie are just like, eh?
Second, do you think it's a show of strength for Vogel?
That's true, too, for sure.
Like, this is what happens to people who fail me, and so, you know, F around and find out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I don't want to be at Vogel's place. Like, I mean, in this scene, he must be, oh, shit, what did I do?
Glancing over at Rosier, who just looks like...
And Rosier is just, like, filing her nails, like, checking Facebook. She's like, oh, what? This is, like, a Tuesday, buddy.
Yeah. She's like, well, I've never failed him, so...
I was about to make it real weird, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Going back to Credence, it reminds me how Grindelwald acted in the first movie when he was Colin Farrell. And because he acted really softly with Credence, and in the end, when he was really, really harsh and really mean to him just before he realized that Credence is the Obscurus. So it reminds me this switch between being kind and being...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And that's what Credence had with Marilou Bourbon, too. So,
yeah.
A terrified child, that's what he is.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I just have a note in here that says, Dumbledore's chaotic, stupid plan is working.
Yeah.
Because this is the first that Grindelwald is learning of the baby Chilin, the other Chilin. So that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is.
Also, again, like, this is classic narcissist behavior. Like, Grindelwald is centering himself in this and not thinking about Credence's feelings. This is really, you put me in danger. Look what you are making me do. Like, he just, I don't care for this guy. I think he might be a bad guy.
Yeah. I'm starting to get those vibes, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, one last chance. That's what he said. And that's how the scene ends. So we're moving to scene 69.
Nice. Interview. Sorry.
Interior Hogshead morning. And it's inside Newt's case. And we have an adorable description of Theseus is holding the shilling like a baby.
Oh, it is a baby!
And the two brothers, so Newt and Theseus, are described like two doting parents. That's so cute. And that's interesting how it works as a transition with last scene.
Yeah.
Because we have the dead shilling and Grindelwald being the most awful parents that we can imagine. And there we have Theseus and Newt being... perfect. Yeah.
Because, like, Grindelwald's even holding it, too. And, but he doesn't, it's people who love the baby and value the baby versus people who just want to use the baby.
Yeah.
Theseus is perfect. And Theseus is perfect. And, like, I just, you know, as Theseus's wife, I just died during this scene. It's so cute.
So, it was a really quick scene, and we are moving to another even quicker scene with scene 70. Exterior Hogwarts, same time, morning, and just Hogwarts.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. Being Hogwarts.
That's very nice. And again, Hogwarts in the morning, and we already got that a few scenes ago when you could have Hogwarts by night.
Hogwarts at night.
So it would, yeah, you could have some variation. But yeah, it was a beautiful misty morning, so
they didn't want to render all the window lights.
Right. You know, I just it specifically calls out, it says, mist hangs over the grounds, bridge and castle glow softly in the morning light. It will never stop being funny to me that bridge was just added by Alfonso Cuarón in movie 3, and it's like, become so iconic now. Like, you cannot imagine Hogwarts without that bridge.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's even the view that we have 2 pages later in the script.
Mm-hmm.
The Hogwarts exterior location rendering. That's with the, you kind of see Hogwarts in the background, but you mostly see the bridge.
Yeah, you mostly see the bridge. And that's just wild to me, because again, going back to the studio tour, that's one of the places you can take a photo. Your photo with is on the bridge, and it's never mentioned in the books. And I love that. I think it's great.
Yeah, I love it too. So scene 71, interior, 7th floor, corridor, Hogwarts, same time, morning. And that's, I think it's where we have this transition through the glass, through the window. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
Correctly. Yeah.
So
in the movie, it's the same scene. In the script, it's two different scenes. And we follow Lally, Newt, Theseus, and Jacob in the corridor toward the Room of Requirements door that is just appearing in the corridor. So, yeah. Nice.
Nice.
I mean, that's the only thing that happens in the scene. So.
Yep. And that's the end.
That's it.
But yeah, I just realized that Bunty is already inside. She is not with the...
Yeah.
With the quartet there. So
and Albus are discussing their plots.
I wonder...
Because I think Bunty was staying with them at the Hogshead or maybe... So,
yeah, because she's seen a couple.
She didn't even took breakfast with them. She left early and met Dumbledore before everyone else. So.
Like, I wonder if Dumbledore is purposely keeping her separate from them so that there's less chance for them to find out her part in the plot.
And she's the one who brings the seven...
The cases.
Cases, so... Oh, yeah, so I don't remember if it's seven. Is it seven? I don't remember.
It's six cases. Bunty commissioned six cases plus Newt's original case, so it totaled seven. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course, it's seven. But it's in the next scene, so we can't talk about it yet. But just that Bunty is not with them at this moment.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a hint. Who knows? What's happening next?
What could be happening next? Who knows? It's a mystery.
So that's the end of the scene that we are covering today. So one big scene and a couple of little transition scenes.
And the beautiful Hogwarts image.
Yes, it is beautiful. And, you know, I think I've told this story before. I just remember seeing it at the studio tour and be like, oh, it's just like that Universal, which is like the opposite of how it's supposed to be. And so I'm looking at the picture, I'm like, wow, it's just like I'm back at the theme park.
in the picture you clearly see the gallery too, and I don't remember I remember the gallery from the fourth movie. We have a shoot of Hogwarts in winter and but I don't remember if we see it as clearly earlier too. So yeah, the evolution of Hogwarts. I have some friends who are passionate about Hogwarts architecture and how it evolves between the movies. That's pretty fun to listen to them explaining.
Reading, it must have been like a Steve Kloves interview or quote where talking about the evolution of the Hogwarts silhouette, and essentially that, like, we realized after the first movie that the silhouette was not, like, iconic enough. So we just kept adjusting it until we liked it.
Yeah, and I know...
But also, of course, with different directors, they're like, I want a bridge!
I know that's... I have some friends who can immediately tell, oh yeah, that's Hogwarts from movie 5. Oh no, that's from movie 6. Sure. And I mean, the bridge is a big thing that you can recognize and that is not in the first two movies, but the difference between movie 5 and movie 6, I admit that I can't really say that. But,
Wow. We should have them on. You should talk. You should invite them on sometime. That'd be a fun fun chat to have about like the differences between the different Fantastic Beasts movies.
Yeah, if Hocus, I think I saw somewhere. I mean, maybe one of his friends already wrote something about Hogwarts in Fantastic Beasts is the same as Hogwarts in movie 5 or 6. I don't remember which one, but yeah.
Nice.
So, but I don't remember for sure. So I'm not the expert. They are the expert.
All right. Well, that wraps up this very, very bite-sized episode of Speak Beastie. Our podcast question this week is, how do you think the resurrection process works? We'd love to hear from you, just as we heard from Albert and Jerry earlier in this episode. So drop us an owl on any of our social media outlets or email us at speakbc@gmail.com. We also ask that while you're out and about on the internet, why don't you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever it is you kids are listening to your podcasts anymore. I don't know. TikTok? Do kids listen to podcasts on TikTok? I don't know. Wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Podcast clips.
Give us a review. It helps new listeners find us, and it makes us feel good.
Yeah.
So we'd appreciate that.
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at SpeakBeastie, on Facebook at facebook.com/SpeakBeastie, and I'm just going to say it, you can't find us on Tumblr. You can find me on Tumblr, but you have to look. I'm like a beast.
Oh, Shane and the Tumblr cryptid, all right.
But if you want to look at our Tumblr, it's speakbeastiepodcast.tumblr.com.
Dead Tumblr.
And you can support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/speakbc. We have stickers, we have coloring sheets, we have wallpapers. And what are you guys up to? What are you going to have on Patreon? I'm definitely behind on Patreon content that I'm supposed to make.
You know, I really didn't put this in here as part of the Dr. Shame people. I mean, I'm glad that it's, I'm glad that it's working because I was getting that content out, but. My husband and I recently went to the Natural History Museum here in Chicago, and we found actually an image from the exchange of a Chinese tapestry painting of a giraffe, which was brought to the Chinese court as a qilin.
Oh.
So I'll be sharing that with the patrons later this month.
Interesting. Cool.
I'm Anne.
I was just trying to think of a fun animal fact that I learned recently, but I couldn't remember what it was.
Well, just share any fun fact. What's a fun fact you've got in general that you can share with us?
I think it was, for all I know, we talked about this on the show. It's about narwhals and that, so unicorns, their horns look like narwhal horns, right?
Yeah.
And that's because people from, like, places where narwhals are would get narwhal horns and then sell them where people believed in unicorns as unicorn horns.
Huh.
And then the image of unicorns evolved to have the horn look more like the narwhal horn. And that's why it's the spiral.
Neat. That is a fun fact. Thank you, Shannon.
Yeah, I remember that from the exhibition that they had in London. When we went with Oreo, that was really cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Animal.
No, I don't have any fun facts about animals. I saw my first butterflies of the season earlier today.
Nice.
Oh, that is a fun fact. Spring is coming. Winter is ending. It's going to be so great.
Yeah.
Well, that wraps it up.
That's right.
I'm Anne.
I'm Marjolaine.
I'm Shannon. Case closed.